Hold your papers up high. Forget all your worries. We're troubled poets can't die. They're the meat of the story.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. This is Steph, and I have a brand new co-host with me today who has, well, is taking over the show, or at least taking over half the show. It is Zach Feinberg, my student host. Zach, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Hey, Steph. Zach's the name, talking's the game.
Well, Zach, I'm glad you can talk, because it'd be pretty boring to have silence on the radio. But, okay, that was an inside joke, because actually Zach used to be the voice of silence on Hush. We're off to a good start, Zach.
My lungs hurt.
All right, Zach. I want you to tell me a little bit about yourself, but before you do that, I just want to let the listeners know what's going to be on the show today. You are going to be joined in a moment by Emma. She's a senior at Stillwater Area High School, to talk about the Netflix show Stranger Things and the way that 80s films have influenced that production. And then in the second half of the show, we have Debbie Drew, who has all kinds of experience with film, to talk about what makes a good film and also how to become a filmmaker and what steps to take along the way to do that. But first, Zach, tell me, you're a student.
Yes, I am in fact a student.
And you go to?
I go to the St. Croix Valley ALC at the moment. It's right attached to the high school in Stillwater.
Well, good. And now you're on the radio.
Yeah, now I'm on the radio. I'm really moving up in the world.
Well, actually, technically, you're on the radio for a month, because unfortunately, KLBB's last broadcast is going to be on March 31st of this year.
Aww.
However, Voices in the Valley is going to continue live on the airwaves, thanks to our good friend, the internet. You'll be able to listen to us by going on to storyarc.org. That's storyarc. ARK.org will still continue to be a podcast that you can listen to on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, all of those good podcast directories. And also, I am working with someone to become an app. Yes, we are going to have Voices in the Valley, the app.
That's really exciting, actually.
It is. It can be on your smartphone.
I've always wanted an app.
I've always wanted to be an app.
Yeah, so, right?
Right. I mean, what more could one aspire to? From high school to appdom. I mean, really,
yeah.
Seriously.
My mom always told me, if you're ever one thing in this world, you should be an app.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun. And so we're going to shake up the show a little bit, because we do have you now as our consistent student host. Every month, we are going to be looking at the world of writing, and then film, and then acting, and then music. We're going to have a couple student, high school student musicians joining us to take over the show, to do a music edition featuring local student bands and local professionals here in the St. Croix Valley. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I mean, don't worry. We're still going to air Hush, and we're still going to bring on the Boomsite Literary Magazine writers and visual artists to talk about what they're doing with that. But in the meantime, we'll have a lot of fun talking about the creative arts, how to be an artist, how to enjoy the work of artists, how to nurture the creative mind so we don't go crazy or get super depressed, anxious, or...
Yeah, like people forget, like, in order to be a successful artist, you have to be a functional person.
Yes, that always is a good thing. We don't want anybody cutting off their ears, so... All right. Anyway, I think I've probably said enough, so I am going to introduce our student guest here today. Her name is Emma Atkins. She is a senior at Stillwater Area High School, and she is here today as an expert because, like many people out there, she loves watching films, TV shows, Netflix, content of all sorts as found across all the different platforms. And yes, mm-hmm. Yes, Emma, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. I must admit, I have no idea where you and Zach are going to take the conversation as we discuss Stranger Things and the influence of 80s films on that wonderful production, which I will just freely admit right now, I have never watched.
Oh.
So I may, I am going to be I'm going to be an advocate for the listeners out there who are like, what Stranger Things or Netflix?
Is that your impression of our audience?
No. I take it back. I'm sorry. I think you're brilliant, awesome, and wonderful, all you people listening right now. Please keep listening. Don't stop. Yeah, I did not try to insult you.
Yeah, no, we never want to belittle our audience. We think you guys are awesome.
No, we want to give you a half hour of quality, uplifting entertainment where you walk away and you say, I'm amazing. I feel so good about myself. And I'll be back next week to listen again. All right. I'm really going to shut up now. So you guys.
No, it's fine.
It's good.
Stranger Things could be stranger than
you.
Yeah.
All right. Go.
Yeah.
You're great. Yes. So Stranger Things, we're just talking about how the 80s movies like Goonies and E.T. and It have really influenced how Stranger Things was made.
Oh, yeah. And how kind of Stranger Things plays off some of the concepts and tropes that these movies presented and plays off them or makes them better.
Yeah, very much so. I feel like it does because in all of these 80s films, there's a common idea of there's the good guys and there's the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And the good guys go and they journey and they stop the bad guys and it's really black and white. And
yeah, it's very, you said it, black and white. I don't know why I'm trying to think of it.
Yeah, it's a very, the thing about Stranger Things is it's become so popular in today's culture. And it's weird because we've really progressed in the film industry as we've gone along since the 80s. I mean, we've really brought out complexity of character and like the color of life. And so it's funny that now we're kind of going back to like this 80s theme. But the wonderful thing Stranger Things has done is they've taken a show like Goonies, which is very stock character.
Yeah, it's very
lovely and super funny and a great show or movie. You should watch it. But it's not like some shows we see today that are very diving into the complexity of human nature. So the wonderful thing about Stranger Things is they've taken this really lovely vibe and atmosphere of an 80s movie, and then they've added in complexity of character, and they've started really working to show what like humans are all about.
Yeah, essentially what it's doing is it's not like presenting as much characters, but more people now. It's people interacting with each other, and it shows what people would actually, how they would actually react in this kind of situation without sacrificing this sense of nostalgia that we get while watching other 80s movies, like The Goonies. Like, I love The Goonies for the nostalgia factor, but it doesn't really challenge anything. It's kind of like popcorn, buttery popcorn. Like, it's nice to have every once in a while when you're going to the movies, but I wouldn't want to have it, like, every day. Like,
yeah.
I would have a stomach ache.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think with Stranger Things, it has taken sort of the stylistic cue from the 80s movies, which we're all kind of enjoying today. And mm-hmm. then it's really, and it's even taken some of the like archetypal characters with like these, like, here's the bully and then here's the good guy. But then the interesting thing is the bully has dynamic changes and changes as a person.
Like the new It that came out in 2017, I will admit, is kind of like along the lines of Stranger Things, where it took the original source material and expanded upon it. Like, you understand why the bully's a bully now. Like, it's not just, ooh, he was born mean. It's more of, there's something happening at home, and he's not a useless just like foil for the characters. He actually is a part of the story. He's an obstacle, like a legitimate obstacle.
Yeah, he has a history and a complexity that makes you care about him.
Exactly.
Which is what Stranger Things does really well, and how I think it improves upon some 80s movies in that you start to really care about the characters. And that's why Stranger Things as a TV show can be so sustainable, because you can keep caring about them as you watch season to season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to give away spoilers here, but like, there became a point in... I'd like to make a disclaimer here. I went into Stranger Things hating it. Like, I did not think I was going to like this show at all, because everyone told me, you're going to love this show. You're going to love this show. I hate hearing that. I hate it when someone tells me what I love and what I don't. But you know what? They were right. It's because I wasn't expecting this complexity like you talked about.
Yeah, the interesting thing, too, was throughout the process of creating Stranger Things, I watched Beyond Stranger Things on Netflix because I'm a nerd. And so I watched Beyond Stranger Things. And the interesting thing about it is they actually auditioned their actors using 80s films. They didn't have the script created for Stranger Things when it was being put into production. So these casting agents would say, okay, we're going to take films like E.T. and Goonies, and we're going to give you monologues from it, and that's how we'll decide if you're right. So they really did stick true to the style of 80s mm-hmm. movies and what actors are needed for that.
I think that's really clever to keeping with the atmosphere of 80s movies. It has this very, I hate using this again, but butter and popcorn, where it's like a guilty pleasure almost. But it expands upon that, so it kind of challenges you. So when you come out of the show, you feel like you've grown as someone who consumes art. And that's how you should feel, usually. Like, you don't want to go into something and have your time wasted.
Yeah. Well, and I've definitely watched shows where I've been like, why did I just spend 2 hours of my life watching that? The cool thing is Stranger Things has really brought out suspense, which is really true to 80s movies. It's really brought out like the, okay, well, this just happened, and this next thing is going to bump it up even more, so it's even more suspenseful. And then as each episode goes on, the suspense continues to grow and grow and grow. And I really feel like we saw a lot of that, and we really got that into our film industry with productions of films like Goonies and It and E.T.
Yeah, I very much agree. And kind of to just end this off, because we're running out of time, sadly, I'd love to talk about this for hours, but I think that Stranger Things, and I think you would agree, it's taken all of these things we loved about 80s movies, and it's put this in a more evolved sense of show. Like, this show belongs in this era, and yet it's referencing an era we never lived in.
Yeah, which is so much fun to see.
Okay, I have lived in the era. I went to high school in the era. I grew up in the era. I could have been whoever the characters are in Stranger Things, except for I think bad things maybe happen in Stranger Things, so maybe I wouldn't want to be.
Oh, we can't tell you that.
No, we can't, but you know what? Suspense, I'm there. I'm watching, I'm starting, I'm going on to Netflix tonight, and I'm going to take a look and watch. Emma, thank you so much for coming on Voices in the Valley.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We hope you will come back again. But now we are going to say goodbye until the second half of our show, when Debbie Drew joins us to talk about how to become a filmmaker, and what makes a good film.
See you then, Steph.
See you soon. Like, in like 3 minutes.
About.
Hi, this is Emma Atkins, head writer for Hashtag Hush Podcast and actress who plays the role of Andy. The Hush team is comprised of teenagers from all over the St. Croix Valley who write, perform, and produce an original sci-fi radio series. You may have heard our previous episodes played the first Saturday of every month here on Voices in the Valley. But now we are thrilled to announce Hush is on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Please find us on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review your own hometown, homegrown podcast. Our goal is to become new and noteworthy on iTunes, and you can help make that happen. Hush follows a teenage girl named Andy, whose parents and then grandmother mysteriously disappear. Andy and her friends set off to search for them on a quest that leads into multiple worlds filled with dangerous secrets and manipulative people, all kinds of fun characters. The voice of a strange being named Silence, a bumbling police officer who wants to train his pug to be a police dog, and well-intended but misguided adults aggravate the situation rather than making it better. It's been super fun to write and amazing to act in, and we want you to experience it too. So right after this episode of Voices in the Valley, check out iTunes, find Hush, subscribe, rate, and review. Also find us by Googling hashtag Hush Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show.
This is Heather Rutledge, Executive Director of ArtReach St. Croix, bringing you art news from Voices in the Valley. As I was preparing March's art news, I was noticing a very Irish theme. First, there's the Irish Coffee Stout release party at Liftbridge Brewing Company, live Irish music at Charlie's Irish Pub for St. Patrick's Day, and that got me to think about Irish Spring. Oh yes, that green soap. And the green soap made me think of the green wine at Chateau St. Croix Winery in St. Croix Falls. Yes, they will be dyeing their white wine green. Also a St. Patrick's Day nod. But really, the art news this month focuses on spring. Seasons on St. Croix Gallery has an exhibition, Living Landscapes, Prairies, Pollinators, and Coexistence, which will be on view March 2nd through April 8th, with an opening party March 2nd from 5 to 9 p.m. Also, March 20th at Family Means will be a program hosted by Wild Ones and the St. Croix Oak Savannah called Establishing and Restoring Prairies for Native Plants and Wild Bees. Julia Brokaw, University of Minnesota Wild Bee Researcher, will be presenting. The Spring Art Show at Squire House and Gardens in Afton takes place March 3rd through 18th, with a reception on March 3rd from 5 to 8 p.m. Their gardens are ready to start waking up. This has been Heather Rutledge of ArtReach St. Croix bringing you the art news. You can find out about these and other events online at stcroixsplash.org, the St. Croix Valley's online event calendar.
We're back.
It's great to be back, Steph.
It is. And one of the fun things that we're going to be doing as we have this new and improved Voices in the Valley, which is going to be airing online every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. You can find out more by going to storyarc.org. Just had to throw that in there, Zach. Sorry about that.
I have no objections.
iTunes podcast. Yep. Just we're going to keep... Join us there. But anyways, to get back on track, one of the things we're going to be doing here on Voices in the Valley is you and I are going to hit the streets and we're going to meet interesting people. And one of those interesting people that you and I had the opportunity to interview earlier on this week was Debbie Drew. She is responsible for Cutaway Productions, which is a student production company here at Stillwater Area High School. And Debbie herself has got a really interesting background in the film world and a interesting career there. So it was really a pleasure to be able to talk to her and hear about
how she's moved through her career as someone in film. It was a real honor talking to her. I kind of fangirled with her about film for a bit.
Yeah, she's a really neat lady. So I think you guys will enjoy the conversation. Here it is. Zach and Steph at Stillwater Area High School with Debbie Drew.
Hi, Zach. Hi, Steph.
Hello, Debbie. Debbie is... Do they call you a teacher, the
officially,
mentor?
Yes.
Is that what you are?
I am officially a teacher, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Associated with Cutaway Productions,
yes.
Which is a video production, student-run video production company here at Stillwater Area High School, which in and of itself is kind of cool, Debbie. And so, you know, I'm just going to make note that we're in an office right now, so you hear the ticking clock, and who knows if you'll hear voices outside, but that just adds to the flavor and the excitement.
Adds a lot of character.
Of what we're doing. So, you know, who knows is what you'll hear in the background. But let's start with Cutaway Productions. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Cutaway Productions is a student-run video class company. And I started it, I was trying to figure out exactly when the first group of kids was. I think it was around 15 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And we taught a video production class at the junior high, and then those kids would grow up and leave me, and I wouldn't see them again. And so I thought, well, gosh, it'd be great to hang on to some of those kids and you know, teach them more and have give them more experiences in video production. And so that's how it started 15 years ago. I think my oldest kid is now 28.
Oh, my
wow.
Goodness.
Yeah. I still keep in touch with some of them. And we are funded on our own. We don't get any funding from the school at all. So everything that... all of our equipment comes from the money that we make doing different projects for the community Some of it's in district and a lot of it's out of district. So, yeah.
So how'd you get involved with film?
Well, a long time ago, longer than 15 years ago, when I was in college, I really had no idea what I wanted to do. And look, I not have to take physics or chemistry in. Oh, look, video looks fun. And that's literally how I fell into it. Yes, that was that.
To avoid chemistry and physics?
Yes, I can very much relate to that.
Is that why you're in video now? Video and
you
audio?
You got me.
Yeah.
You got me.
And, so I graduated with a major in mass communications broadcast journalism. Actually really liked it. I came to the Twin Cities. I went to school in South Dakota State University, because I grew up in the Black Hills, and came to Minneapolis, and another fluke in my weird life, I found a job, actually a full-time job in the field, which was very rare at the time, and started as a production assistant, worked my way up to an executive producer in post-production, and then I had my two wonderful children and decided that working 16-hour days in the film business wasn't a very good mom job.
Tricky.
And I'd always liked teenagers, and I had gotten... And I had... gotten my teaching certificate earlier, a few years earlier, knowing that I wasn't going to retire in the business because you either die of a heart attack or have a nervous breakdown in that business. Very stressful, fun, but stressful. And so I put it to use, and I've been teaching ever since. So it's, this is my 22nd year of teaching. And I was in the film business for about 10 years, so I just gave my age away, didn't I? But
that would mean we'd have to do math. You might not be safe with the listening audience, but with us, you know, there's a computer guy out there somewhere.
Or a physicist who's really
sore that you didn't take a physics class.
We just assume everyone we interview is 20.
Got to be a little older than 20.
30.
There you go. Well, I know Zach has some questions to ask you about filmmaking or how to become a filmmaker, but first I want to just, I can't let go what you just said about everyone gets a heart attack or stresses out. Is there a kinder, gentler path available than that for all of the young people or older people who want to go into this industry?
It is so exciting, and I absolutely loved it. I loved every minute of it. It's a high stress. They all kind of think they're birthing babies, and so everybody's job is the most important thing, and you aren't really allowed to have a lot else going on in your life. But, you know, as a young person, it was awesome. I mean, I loved it, and I could devote all my time to it. But it was just hard when you throw the kid factor into it. I absolutely love the film business, and I've always said that I wish everybody could spend a year in the film business, because it teaches you amazing work ethic and determination. And it's, you know, if you, first of all, to even be in the film business, you have to really want it and work for it, because there's, you know, 100 people behind you that want that same job. And so you have to learn. There's no such word as I can't or I know. I mean, it's just you have to figure out a way to do it, to get the job done. And it taught me so much. And I would not give that away for anything. But just, you know, having a family, just it shifted my priorities. And so I was teaching as a much better mom job. So.
That makes sense.
Yes.
So the moral of the story is don't have kids.
I love my babies.
Well, I don't know. As a mom, I'm pretty glad I had them too. But, you know, it's challenging.
This was the moment where Zach forgot he was in a room filled with mothers.
Yes, exactly. But that's okay, Zach. You know.
Yeah. So I just have a couple questions to you as a filmmaker.
Yes.
First off, like, how do you get started as a filmmaker? Where do you start?
You know, a lot of it is who you know. It's making connections. So, you know, by making connections early on is awesome. And then, you know, they can really help you get that first job and then the second job. And then, you know, you've made, you know, more connections. And it's, so that to me is the biggest deal. You know, it doesn't really matter what school you go to and how expensive it was and where it was. It's the people that you meet.
Definitely.
And, so, yes.
And another question. That was great. Thank you. Another thing is, what would you say are some components to a good film?
A good film starts with a good script. Mm-hmm. I went to a movie that was, it's the Paris one that Clint Eastwood.
Paris 15-something.
Yes, the train. And it was awful. And I looked, and I thought, oh, but Clint Eastwood, you know, I realized it wasn't real actors, and... But it was there. The script wasn't there, and I'm like, "Oh, poor Clint needs to retire. Maybe I don't know. I don't know what happened, because I was hoping that this was going to be." But it was, you know, and I just, to me, I want to get that and just show the kids like what not to do in a movie, because the script was bad, the acting was bad, there was no storyline, and you know, those are all things that you need, and then awesome visuals and audio, and you know, everything's important. Everything is important in a movie. Like I said, you start with the script and the actors and the characters and the story and the audio and the video. It all has to come together. Otherwise, it's not going to be a great movie.
Yeah, I got to find this equilibrium.
Exactly.
Almost.
A balance. Yep.
I just was talking with someone who knows a lot about film, and he was saying that when you submit a film to a festival, what they're looking for is the filmmaker's voice.
Right.
at the end of the film, they want to go, I know that filmmaker,
right,
and who they are and what their voice has to say.
Yeah, yeah. And that is a really interesting question. We just finished up a project with my students, and they kind of all did the same project, but, you know, they shot it together and then they edited it on their own. And in watching it, I could tell, even though it was the same footage, just by the way they put it together, I could tell which student, without looking at their names, which student turned in which project. And it's just, it's like, wow. You said, it was, yeah, and it was, and I was so proud of them because it, for the same reason. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I know who you are as a filmmaker. And so it's pretty cool. It's like looking at a clothing designer and saying, you know that that's an Alexander McQueen, you know, because yeah. that's what he designs, you know. And I think it's, I don't know, your passion, your interest, your background, everything feeds into that and into, you know, who you are. And I don't know. I'm not answering.
Does it take a while to find a voice? Do you just have to keep making films?
No, yes. I think it's, yeah.
It's just something that comes over time.
And that's what these girls that I was, you know, telling you about, I've known them for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And I could see these, just a huge difference this year after, and that's been 5 years of filmmaking. So, no, I think you definitely grow into it. And experience by seeing different films and experiencing life too is part of it. It's just growing up and experiencing life and then putting that into your work.
Well, and the other thing that this person said was that it's also about the story ultimately, mm-hmm. and how you're telling that story. And so it's not about beautiful filmmaking necessarily.
Right.
And in
right.
fact, right now, at least in the festival circuit, mm-hmm. raw films are more popular and more likely to do well than beautiful films.
Right.
And they love films shot on an iPhone.
Right.
Because if it's a really good film, it means that is really all about the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of those films that are actually out there that I've seen some trailers that they were all shot on an iPhone.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's weird to think about, that the thing in your pocket could get you into Sundance.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Yeah. That's inspiring.
Yeah. It is.
That's really inspiring.
It has a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And again, when you said, you know, how do you get into it? It's kind of the same thing. You know, it used to be when I first started, you know, nobody could afford to have their own equipment. I mean, that was just, you know, that was for the people that had the big companies. And now the power that you guys have on your iPhone, you know, and the editing that you can do on a simple laptop, and even on your iPhone, some of it's on your iPhone too, it's amazing. I mean, you guys have the power to do things that were not possible when I was first getting into the film business.
Oh, wow.
So, oh, yeah, for sure. And just the cost, I mean, it was, we would charge, you know, $200 an hour to be editing. And on equipment that was hundreds of thousands of dollars, that you guys can basically do the exact same thing now
on your phone.
Yes,
it's really weird to think about.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So Zach, get filming.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see your film.
I'll be right back.
Debbie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been delightful to interview you, and really good information. So we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thank you, Zach.
Okay, it was really fun, wasn't it, Zach?
It was really fun. I, like, after we stopped the interview, I'll admit, I got really excited and we started about talking about movies. I really didn't want to leave, but she had to do things. We all had to do things.
And you got a film idea.
Yes, I actually got an idea for a film from her.
Yes, that you're going to record on a phone.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Because that's...
That's not me just being tacky and cheap. That's actually a part of the motif of the movie.
Yes, exactly. So I can't wait to watch that and talk more about that with you later. But for now, we've got to go. That's it. Our first show together, Zach. It was real. It was good.
It was great.
It was fun. And I'm looking forward to next week when we once again go crazy and end up talking to Griff Sato, who's the director of Stillwater Area High School's theater department. He tells us a little bit about Bye Bye Birdie and also is going to be discussing what it means to be a vocal actor versus a film actor versus a theatrical actor, a stage actor. And then, this is super cool, I'm pulling on some material that I had the opportunity to do earlier. We did an interview with Clayton Snyder, who used to be on the Lizzie McGuire show. He was Ethan.
Oh, really?
He was the heartthrob. Yeah. And he shares some really fantastic stuff about how to find an agent and also what the new triple threat is. It is no longer about being a dancer, a singer, and an actor.
Really?
It's something quite different than that. And So you're going to find out more about that next week.
I look forward to it.
Thanks for listening to Voices in the Valley. Voices in the Valley is a production of the nonprofit organization Story Arc. What's your story? How are you going to tell it? StoryArc.org.